Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Craft of the Draft podcast. It's our final episode of the year, and this week we are previewing the 2023 AFLW Draft, especially the Coates Talent League side. But we should give a bit of context. This is being recorded a couple of weeks in advance, as I won't be here in the next couple of weeks. So we do apologise if any of the information we do say is a little bit out of date by the time this is released, but we're hoping it is not. We've also just had a pre-signing period for a few of the expansion teams in the AFLW. So a few of the Talent League girls have already gone to AFLW clubs. We've seen four girls, three Eastern girls, and one Calder girl, which we'll touch on a bit later. But Jonty, let's get straight into it. We're going to go through a few categories, and the first one we're going to start with is the best Talent League performers of the year and what really endears them to get to an AFL club and really explode when they get there. So I'll let you start with a few girls.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll just park those players who have already been signed by clubs for the time being. But Alicia Pisano was probably the clear standout from a CTL perspective this year. 38 goals, 24 she kicked. Just a game-changing forward who probably you've talked about throughout the season, as well as anyone in the Talent League. Her ability to kick those goals around the corner on the girls' side of the game is something that can often be overlooked, but it's something that she's certainly really adept at doing. So she scored in every game that she played this year, and there are even games where it felt like she was out of the game. She was able to pop up for a quarter and kick a couple of goals. So wherever she goes, I think she's going to be a player who you can build your forward line around. Michaela Williamson, obviously the silky mover from the Dandenong Stingrays, is probably going to be a winger at the next level. That's where her background is. She's played in a few different positions, but she's also got that inside craft this year and formed a really potent 1-2 punch with Meg Robertson in the Dandenong Stingrays midfield. Brooke Barwick, we didn't see any of her this year. She's a Tasmanian Devils girl who is recovering from a ruptured ACL, but certainly at her best, she's a really tough, really clean midfielder, and she has all the traits that you want from a stoppage craft point of view, and she's going to slot into an AFLW club pretty seamlessly. I would take it. I guess the one thing is, how does she recover from that ACL and how long it takes her to get back to her best? But she'll be an asset wherever she goes. And Jess Wrench, obviously the line-breaking halfback, who also went into the midfield this season. She was so important for the GWV Rebels.
Kaylee Cavanaugh is one that I've absolutely loved watching for the Calder Cannons, and her ability just on the ball to understand where to move her body, her agility on the ball, her handcraft in general is just so good. Knows where to move the ball outwards in transition. Just a really, really talented midfielder that knows football so well. I think she'll slot in anywhere really nicely. Sarah Grundon, one of her Calder teammates, we saw her up forward with her forward craft. She's able to take a good mark. She's a really nice set shot kick, and we've seen a bit of versatility with her in that forward line that she can create goals from a few different scenarios. Bridie O'Rourke is one that's just kept building really nicely throughout the year. We know how athletic she is, and that's something she brings into her game through that midfield, and she's just so quick and pacey with it, knows how to use it well. Christy Lee Weston Turner from the Western Jets, probably one of the most exciting and probably one that would fall to about 4, 5, 6 in the draft, and you'd get a proper steal with her of how athletic she is, that she's got such good height, yet she moves like she's about 10 centimetres shorter, and she's such a threat. She's one that will turn into a really pure footballer. So those are four on my end. The next category we're going to go to, Jonty, top three players in each position. So I'll let you kick that one off.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll kick off with the half forwards, and you talked about Sarah Grundon and that understanding of playing in the forward half. Her skill execution is really sound, and she does make really good decisions under pressure. She's able to do it in general play. She's able to do it after she's taken a mark. She's that aerial threat as well up forward. So she's one who I think has probably come onto the scene a little bit later and has probably surprised a few people this year, but she's been really, really pleasing with what she's been able to do at her best. Perhaps she hasn't been able to perform week in, week out, but given how new she is sort of on the scene and what she's able to do at her best, I think she'll be one who will perform wherever she goes and does deserve an opportunity pretty early on. Lily Jordan, another one who I know we've both enjoyed watching this year, Nathan. She's got a really strong aerobic break base, and her pressure is something that has been talked about extensively by her coaches, both at Vic Country and at Talent League level. And I guess the one thing from her point of view is, yes, she can sort of get up and down the ground and empty out really well. But from an athletic point of view for a small forward, that's probably an area of growth for her. And then Tamara Henry, pretty similar vein, but she probably does have that pace that maybe Lily Jordan doesn't have. She's got the defensive side to her game down pat as well. But another one that perhaps her production week in, week out was a little bit inconsistent, albeit playing for the Western Jets, who didn't have the greatest of seasons, only got a couple of wins. So it'd be interesting to see how she goes in a team that does have that ability to generate scoring opportunities and forward half thrusts at a little bit more will.
I'll move to key forwards now. I'll start with Georgia Clark, Tassie girl, who also played for the Allies throughout the year. And her, the benefits of her, you're getting a really good contested marking key forward there. And she knows how to convert. She's a very good endurance runner. So one that will just keep progressing. And I think there's still a lot of development in her and a lot of upside with her. The drawback, I guess, with her, she doesn't have the speed, real pace, I guess, compared to a lot of the other key forwards. Chris Seeley, Weston Turner, like I mentioned before, she's just so athletic and probably could play her wherever on the ground. She's that good and versatile. Yeah. Her speed, just her strength around the contests. If she gets it, you don't want her to be running at you. I guess the drawback with her, though, her disposal efficiency in general can let her down, just sort of kicks to sort of space instead of hitting targets at times. But I think that's a development thing that will 100% improve as time goes on. Sophie Butterworth, you did a really good story on her recently, Jonty, and we, you know, found that she was injured for most of the year and she was so productive still. She hit the scoreboard kicked 30 goals in the year for the Dandenong Stingrays. And she's just I like to call her a power forward because she is. Like, she just, the way she leads, she's just really powerful. She knows how to win her own footy and demand it. And she's able to convert. I guess the drawback with Sophie, she hasn't really played anywhere else but that forward line throughout the year. So still a bit of work, but I think when she gets her body really fit, she's already been so dominant. So excited to see what's next with her.
Certainly. We'll move on to some defenders now and some that are in that sort of medium to smaller frame. And we'll start with Amber Shoot out of the Gippsland Power, one who has gone a little bit unheralded this year, but her champs really put her on the map in terms of people who matter. And then from that, she's been able to propel her footy at Coates Lake level and be a really important piece for a Gippsland side that at times has been under siege down back. Obviously, they got better as the season went on, but they did only get a couple of wins on the board. And her composure down there was really important. Her speed is something that has stood out. She tested really well at the combine, so she has got that really good athletic base. And that's something that AFLW clubs will really like. Whether she gets picked up, she's probably one who's right on the edge, but is certainly at the top of the list if you're looking for a Coates Talent League medium or small defender. Another one is Jo Sunderland. She did a terrific job on Alicia Pisano in a Coates League game earlier this year, and her competitiveness and one-on-one ability was on show in that game. That's probably her one wood. She's also very good from a physical point of view, and for a smaller sort of defender, she can take a mark and impact aerially. So that's certainly what her one woods are, and I guess the next step for her will be that disposal efficiency. She's able to clear defensive 50 really well, but sometimes she doesn't always hit her targets, so she'll be looking to improve on that. And that consistency week in, week out is something that started to improve, but probably still has a little bit of a way to go. She obviously got the AFLW combine invite, which indicates the interest is there. And then Ruby Murdoch, we've talked on this podcast about the fact she's probably one of the unluckier players not to get the AFLW draft combine invite. She's obviously got the flair and the running capacity. She can shut down, but then she can also run. So that's something that holds her in good stead. But perhaps she's a little bit on the smaller side, on the lighter side when she's looking to shut down, albeit she has done the job on Pisano in a Vic Country game. And she's just probably looking to put it all together in one game where she can shut down a player and then also bring that run and gun in the same game. But certainly those three players have all got AFLW traits.
Rebounding defenders, I'll start with Gemma Rigoni, who was part of Oakley's premiership team, one you've loved watching quite a lot, Jonty, throughout the year. And it's her running capacity that stands out. She was playing a bit of a half-back role at the start of the year, but got moved up onto the wing as the season progressed. And she's just an explosive player. She's got a really good footy IQ, knows how to move the ball really well in transition. Still think there's a lot of growth and development in her. We just sort of saw the base of her come the end of the season, and there's so much room for growth with her. And the drawback, I guess, with her, just her kicking efficiency at times could let her down. Jess Wrench, probably one of my favourites to watch throughout the year. She's one that absolutely knows how to take the game on at any moment. She's so aggressive, and I think that stood out to me the most. Obviously, she's that rebounding prototype, you know, half back, but it's just aggressiveness. She knows how to impact the contest. She'll go in for any pack, in any pack. She just knows how to bring the ball to ground and move it really fast. She's strong. She's got pace. And I struggled to find a drawback with her. She's just pretty raw and she does it really well. I guess seeing her with bigger bodies, I wonder if that will translate. And I guess we'll find out pretty soon. But she'll be one that will translate really well. And the last one in the rebounding defender category, Ava Campbell, Eastern Rangers captain. We know how good her leadership is in general, off and on the field. But we know her, she reads the play really well. She's that intercept marking defender who knows how to impact the contest at the right time, doesn't usually go too early or too late, just knows how to sit back and watch and see what's around her. Her kicking does let her down at times, moving outside of the defensive 50 in transition. It's probably just too short or too long. So something to improve on, but those are my three rebounding defenders.
Those first two that you touched on, Gemma Rigoni and Jess Rancher, I just wonder whether there's the ability for them to become sort of 16 to 17 touch defenders at the next level. We know how good they are and they don't win a hell of a lot of the footy at the moment, and just wonder if they are able to win a bit more of footy and bring those same traits that would lift them to the next level.
100%.
Yeah, so they're certainly high impact per possession players, and I know that's something you keep your eye on, Nathan. The next one we'll move to is wingers, and the clear standout winger this season was Hayley McLaughlin. Obviously, she's one who was pre-listed by Hawthorn, and we saw that during the week, and we'll touch on that in a second. But Michaela Williamson, I touched on before, she's played all season as an inside midfielder. There's no denying her ability when she is released as an inside midfielder to get running and get the ball going forward, and she's really powerful. At the next level, she's probably that winger, would probably want to improve her kicking. That's been something she's looked to work on all season, and it certainly has improved, but there is probably still progress to go. Keely Fullerton's one who hasn't got a lot of love from the external sort of organisations, but I know we've both enjoyed watching her, and her aerobic capacity is something which holds her in good stead, and she tested really well in the agility at the draft combine as well. So there's a couple of athletic traits to work with her. She does have the athletics background. I guess the drawback is her size. So she is on the smaller side, and against senior players, how does that stack up is something we'll see. But for a struggling Bendigo Pioneers side this year, she was really important. And then Mackenzie Ford, one from the Tassie Devils, her defensive running and her pressure was really good, and she does have that power, but she'll look to become a little bit more consistent. She probably was at times a little bit up and down, performed for a couple of weeks, then did have that off week here or there, and we know it can be difficult in the Coates League with all the community recess breaks and players going in and out of the side to continue to perform with allies representation and all of that thrown in there. But perhaps at the next level, when she does have a bit more continuity in the team she's playing with, hopefully she does take that consistency to the next level.
Move to the rucks now. And obviously Jess Vukic was one, probably the top ruck, and she got picked up by Hawthorn in that pre-signing period. So that's great news for her. And she was just so tough and contested. And I guess the next one for Easton was Jacinta Hose, who very sadly did her ACL again on her first game back, which no one loves to see. But it's hard to say. We haven't seen a lot of her, but we know how good she can be. She's an athletic ruck. She's very mobile. And I guess the drawback is, you know, when she's just hasn't got the games under her belt yet, which is really unfortunate. But I think she's one you can 100% take on, and down the line, 100% she'll come back to full fitness. So very exciting prospect, Jacinta Hose. Layla Lappin for the GWV Rebels. She's very contested. She knows how to win her own footy, and that was something she was priding herself on at the Rebels. I guess the drawback with her, just her mobility around the ground, probably lacks a bit of speed to sort of move across the ground and impact contest to contest. And then Tanisha Kikowak, one who sort of started at halfback for Tassie throughout the year, but was probably very early, was realised that ruck was probably where AFLW clubs were going to see her at. And she's got the height. She's got a great leap on her, really good runner, and her strength is really good as well. I guess the drawback, she's still building that ruck craft as she didn't come into it straight away. So still a bit of development left for her in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing how she develops, Tanisha Kikowak. We'll move to the midfielders now, and we'll stay at the Apple Isle, Brooke Barwick. Obviously, the one we talked about before, that competitive sort of player who's really tough and has that really sound stoppage craft. Hopefully she gets back to her form pre her ACL injury when she is listed by an AFLW club. Expect to hear her name read out very early on draft day. Kaylee Kavanagh is another one from the Calder Cannons who spoke about before. Obviously got that power. She wins clearances. She's able to clear it away from the contest and do it with ease. So she's able to fend off really well, and she does have that complete game for a midfielder. I guess at times the disposal efficiency could go to the next level, but I think she's really, really good in most areas, and that's being really nitpicky for Kaylee Kavanagh, product of the Calder Cannons. And then Chloe Adams, the Geelong captain skipper this year, her leadership's obviously something which is a big part of what's got her on radars, but also her work rate's been really good this season, and her leadership, like we talk about, has been important both on and off the field. But her ability to get contest to contest is what really endears itself, and she's able to, around stoppages, she's able to extract the footy, win the hard ball. Obviously, there's Sarah Howley in there as well, and I think between both of them, we saw how good Geelong were on the inside this year. She's obviously a big part of that. So not sure there's a clear drawback there. Obviously, you know, could she, what position does she slot into at the next level? I guess that remains to be seen, but she's one who has all of the attributes to make it at the next level.
Well, I just want to, I sort of put at the bottom, Gaylor and Stone as well, both have found their way at AFLW clubs. So just to add those two as midfielders, Amy Gaylor went to the Bombers, and Laura Stone ended up as one of the other Hawthorn girls as part of that trio. Moved to the small forwards, Alicia Pisano, obviously. I think she's so important because I still think the AFLW is at a period where the girls coming in are probably still going to be the more talented people in those sides, just as the turnover keeps going. I think she's one that can instantly be one of the top 10 players just because of how well refined her craft is. And that's just something she's such, you know, she works hard and she's done it so well. And yeah, she's X factor. She's everything you'd want in a team. Very excited to see where she lands. We're not too sure how the draft's order will be. Obviously, we don't know if the pre-sign-in teams still get high up or where she'll land. So it'll be really interesting. Lila Keck for the Bendigo Pioneers had a really good bottom age year and was able to translate that really well, especially into the big time game. She's one that we both thought every time there was sort of a rep game or especially the AFLW Academy game, she just knows how to turn it on at the right times. And she's just a really smart footballer. She's clean at ground level. She can move into the midfield mix at times, but probably still needs to build that craft a little bit. But there's still so much to work with her at the moment. She also got a bit of an opportunity at BFLW level, so she's got a bit of a footy resume at this point in time. And Ava Jordan for the Northern Knights, I mean, we always talk about her size. She's one of the smallest in the league, but she still knows how to do her job so well. She's a smart footballer. She's got a great goal sense. She knows how to read the ball when it goes to ground, and she's quite hard to play on because of that height. You don't really know how to match up on her properly. So it's something that actually works to her advantage more, you know, more than not. So she's been really fun to watch, and I guess the drawback can be her size as well, given she can't really impact aerially or the contest work is a bit harder, and the athleticism is something that could be worked on with Ava Jordan.
Yeah, certainly. But she does have that smarts inside 50 as well, and she does understand where to be in terms of drop of balls. So is that good small forward, and be interesting to see what happens with her. We'll move on to key defenders now. And Lara Hausegg is one who probably hasn't been spoken about enough, given where she's sort of been in terms of Vic Metro and that sort of thing. She's the Oakley Chargers captain, and obviously we know how far they went this season in the Coates Talent League. So she's one who has got that on her resume. But yeah, her decision making down back and her ability to shut down have been really important for the Oakley Chargers, both throughout that September run and also throughout the season. I guess the next step for her is that ability to clear defensive 50 and hit her targets with consistency. And we talk about that with a lot of the players, and that just comes down to the fact that, I guess, compared to the boys' side of things, they haven't got the same level of footy background. So those fundamentals are still coming through. But the skill execution on her is generally pretty good. Gemma Ramsdale is one who started the season without having played her best footy probably until the last Vic Country game against WA was the turning point for her. She started to back herself, to peel off, go for intercept marks. And after that, she went from just being a shutdown defender to also being able to actually impact as a rebounder and take those marks and really back herself, played with a lot of confidence. And she orchestrates the back line. She's the leader of the Dandenong Stingrays and is a real leader to any AFLW club that picks her up. So I think what she was able to produce in the second half of her season justifies what I think the Dandenong coaching staff were hoping to see from her. I guess her disposal under pressure, again, is something that could improve, but certainly she does have that calmness and does bring a real coolness to the back line with the way she's able to lead it. And then Bianca Lyon probably hasn't settled in any position until the last couple of games before she injured her hand and that ruled her out for the rest of the season, but is now seen by AFLW clubs as being a player who will play their best footy in the back line, and she's able to shut down, she's able to match up really well, and she's able to use her physicality to her advantage. So There's the three best key defenders. Obviously, Bianca Lyon, also part of the AFLW Academy, and is well regarded and has been for the last 12 to 18 months.
Well, let's move now to our late bargains. So these, we've got five players each. So these are players who we believe probably go after the first round, but still pretty much as talented as anyone as in the first round, and a late bargain that really could be terrific to pick up later in the draft. We'll go one at a time. I'll let you start, Jonty.
Yeah, I'll start with Meg Robertson, probably just get her out of the way just because she probably doesn't fit the exact mold of a late bargain. She's probably not going to be a bargain for a club. She's just a father-daughter to Carlton, and she's one who hasn't been spoken about enough this season. I think she is every bit a first-round talent. She's obviously had that injury, the concussion, which kept her out for about 8 weeks and probably didn't get back to her best footy for 3 or 4 weeks after that. But certainly at her best, her toughness and her hardness, which she did rediscover late in the season, is as good as anyone's, and her ability as an inside midfielder is outstanding. I think that Carlton are going to get themselves an outstanding pickup should they land her. And she just understands how to not only win the ball, but apply pressure if she doesn't get first hands to it. But certainly with Ali Simons in the ruck for Dandenong this season, she was one who was able to really capitalise on Ali's dominance in the ruck.
I'll start with Isabel Bacon, who I just think her aggressiveness and her defensive mindset in general makes her a real asset around the contest. And she did build her offensive side of the game later in the season, but it was her work in the champs especially that she just knows how to impact contest to contest, doesn't go in too much and sort of go in when she's not needed. She just knows when her moment is, and I think she's one that really can be built on quite a lot. Her kicking consistency does let her down a little bit, but I still think that defensive mindset and just sort of her ability to impact the contest with the little things is just something really valuable that I think should be taken up upon and interesting to see if she does go, because she had a very good season and had a very big basketball background. Oh, that sounds, you know, everyone has a basketball background, but, you know, didn't really play a lot of football. So,
yeah,
interesting to see where she goes.
Yeah, Kira Wiley's my next one out of the Western Jets. Probably the thing that people have talked about with her that's held her back from being talked about as a higher prospect is that athleticism, which she doesn't necessarily possess in the same way that some of her teammates do or some of her counterparts in the Coates Talent League. But she makes up for it in her understanding of the game, her decision-making. She's so quick. She seems a step ahead. When she gets a ball in hand, she already knows what she's going to do with it. And then she executes her skills really well as well. So she's one who, as a stoppage midfielder, is really, really strong and one who can make an impact, I think, at senior level.
Chantel Mason is my next one, and it was one game against Tassie where she kicked 6 that I think if you go and watch that as a recruiter, you see everything you need to know about her, because she just, I mean, she's tall and she knows how to take a contested mark, but she can do it, you know, she can almost do a small forward role as well. She's great at ground level. She possesses the ability to be really potent and like just really aggressive with her speed. So I think she's just one that has a lot of weapons. It's just whether we can get whether AFLW clubs can get the best out of her, because she did have a quiet champ. She can go missing at times and sort of lack the ability to get into the game. So she's got a lot of upside, a heap of upside. So interesting to see if she does go, because I think the forward craft is really well refined already. It's just whether she can maintain consistency at a high level.
Very well refined for a player who's spending their first season inside 50, that's for sure. We'll move to Jasmine Thompson, a player from the Tasmania Devils who who at her best and her worst were probably a little bit too far apart this season, but at her best, she's an athletic player. She tested really well at the combine, and those results, I guess, reflect in how she plays. It's the first thing you notice, whether she's on the inside or on the outside, she's able to get the ball going forward, and she's really important on transition as well. And that also means she's able to impact late in quarters. She's able to impact late in games with that aerobic base, which holds her in really good stead.
Tyler Crabtree, one that had a really terrific national champs for the country. Again, another defensive minded player, played her netball at goal defence, so has a very defensive background. She took that into her footy, but in a way she was attacking the footy really well. She just, her contest to contest running has been fantastic, and she knows how to impact the play really well, and had a lost a lot of confidence at the start of the year, but built that really well, and it just kept translating into her footy as the season went on. And I guess the drawback with her, we haven't seen a lot of her outside work yet, and it still needs to be a little bit polished, and still a lot to work with Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely. And check out our channel for an interview with Tyler Crabtree, and there's plenty of other content in terms of player interviews and lots of other stuff if you want to check out and get a bit more of an in-depth understanding of the AFLW draft and some of these prospects that could be headed to your club. But the next player I'll talk about is Abby Tregarlis, who's one who's really flown under the radar, but he's garnering a little bit of interest. She's out of the Dandenong Stingrays. She's an overage player. There aren't too many overage players in this draft. I know Gemma Ragone is another one who you touched on before, but she's played some VFLW this year. She looked comfortable at the level, and she's really versatile. She can play as a defender, but I think she looked really strong up forward, and I reckon that's her position at the next level. Her leading patterns in some games for the Dandenong Stingrays when she was playing as a forward were elite, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she's able produce at senior level, whether that's at a VFLW club or whether an AFLW club does take a punt on her late, because she does have that versatility to play in any line, and she can be a little bit of a misfixer.
I've got three Sandy girls left, but I want to put these two together just for this scenario. But Emily Goff and Jazz Shepherd both played that sort of rebounding defender type. Jazz Shepherd a bit more of a fullback type. I'll start with Emily Goff. She's just tough one-on-one, and she reads the play really well. Probably one that's gone a little under notice going into this draft, just hasn't had a bit of a quieter back end to the season. Probably didn't help that Sandy's draw was quite hard, so they were struggling more weeks than they were winning. But she's one that I think she's a really hard worker. She's a really good runner. Decision-making lets her down at times, but I think there's a lot of potential with Emily Goff. And Jazz Shepherd, she had a really good middle of the year, probably just dropped off in terms of her performance at the end of the year. And it wasn't bad, it just wasn't noticeable at the end of the year. And I think that's probably what's put her a bit down at the moment. But she knows how to win her one-on-one contests as well. She's very athletic, a very fit player, knows how to move the ball out in transition. But I guess that drawback is she can be a little bit quieter and struggle to impact the games as much. So those two have been really good teammates all year, and those two will probably sit at the same spot. But I think there's a lot of potential there. I think just sort of the way Sandy sees and went at times, it probably impacted both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll finish off with a couple of Oakley Premiership players and Lucy Cronin and Amy Carris-Brett. Lucy Cronin being that really physical defender who's able to match up on talls and smalls. She's able to, she's quite versatile in that way that you can put her on any player and you can trust that she's going to be tough and she's going to make it hard for a direct opponent all day. And Amy Carris-Brett as one who we've talked about throughout the season, we've enjoyed watching. She's got that really strong aerobic capacity, runs the lanes on the wing really well for Oakley and finished the season well as well. Her last few games in September were really beneficial. We talk about teams that get those extra couple of games in September can help prospects. She's certainly one of those, and she does have a good turn of speed as well.
And I've got one more player, another Sandy girl, Annabelle Embleton, who, again, she's one who really kind of has gone under the radar in terms of the capabilities she possesses. She's a really good rebounding halfback. She's got a lot of strength. She reads the play really well. She was in the leadership group for Sandy this year. So she also has that element, which is always a great aspect to have as a player. And I guess the drawback with her is her general athleticism. She just doesn't move around the ground as well. So that rounds out my players for the late bargains. We'll move now to the highest ceiling players, and we've got four each. Same as the last one. Jonty, you kick us off for this.
Yeah, I'll kick off with a couple of players who I've put in just because I think their athleticism and their ability as natural athletes holds them in really good stead. And the first player I'll talk about here in this regard is going to be Michaela Williamson, because we saw she smashed records at the 2K time trial, obviously won that at the draft. And to do what she did throughout the season in terms of her footy understanding and footy knowledge was one thing, but then not only did she test well in the time trial, so she's a good endurance runner, she's able to impact late in games, but she's also excellent in the standing vertical jump, so she's able to impact overhead as a midfielder or as a winger, which is something that can sometimes get overlooked, and then also her agility, so we saw that in terms of her ability to weave through traffic. So she's an athlete, and she's one who was really important for the Dandenong Stingrays and Vic Country this year. And then the other one was Christy Lee Weston-Turner, an outstanding athlete. Her size is one thing that you talked about before. She's also obviously got the speed. She can leap. We saw that at the draft combine as well. And then at ground level, like you said, she can impact despite the fact that she is a little bit taller and is able to have that little bit more reach than what her direct opponent at the next level generally would have.
I'll list off my two forwards here. I mean, Alicia Pisano goes in because I still think this... I genuinely have this belief she'll be one of the top 10 players in the AFLW in her first season. I think she just has that capability where she's so dangerous. She just knows how to be a forward and knows how to do it so well. And so, like I said, I think she'd still be a lot more talented than some of the players that are still there. And she'll be able to beat these girls that are even less developed than her already. I mean, these girls coming in have had now 6 or 7 years under their belt. So they do have an advantage on the rest of the competition if they are to make it. So I think she'll just be terrific to watch and be such an excitement machine. She's one that can really lift the whole competition in general. She's one that you can advertise off because she's that talented and so fun to watch. So exciting. And Sophie Butterworth, I mean, yeah, I think if she was injured, we've seen half of her, and that's 30 goals worth. So I think she's ready to explode. I think just when her body is at 100%, she'll be one that adapts to the AFLW scene really nicely, and I'm really excited to see her as well when she gets her opportunity.
Yep, certainly. I'll also want to touch on Bridie O'Rourke. Touched on her off the top, but I think it's something you talk about a lot in the AFLW being so important in terms of the fact that it's so contested still, and that ability to be good in the contest is so important. But the ability to win metres and explode away and be really important on transition is still something that there probably aren't as many players that are as adept in that area, but she's certainly one who has got that explosiveness. She has got that power, and she's going to help her team win territory. Gemma Ragone does it with her leg speed, but I think Bridie O'Rourke does it with her raw power and then also her disposal. Yes, it can probably improve a little bit, but certainly I think what she's able to do in terms of an acceleration point of view is so, so eye-catching to watch. And yeah, she's one that will slot in at the next level and be a real get for her club.
Kaylee Cav, the next one for me, and sort of like I touched on before, she's just so talented in terms of her footy IQ in general around the contest. I think she'll slot in so well and literally backs up the point you were just sort of saying before in terms of if you are good at the contest, you really have an advantage there. Yeah. And it's continuing to get better and better, but when you implement players like Kaylee Cav, it just becomes even better. And we've seen that so recently, like the girls that have been drafted in the last, you know, 1 or 2 years have just instantly made an impact. Their footy IQ is so good and it translates so well. Really excited to see where she goes.
Absolutely. And then Bianca Lyon, a player who I've just included because she's so new to her position. She's been thrown around all three lines, like I said before. She's finally settled seemingly as a key defender. That's seemingly where she's going to be at the next level. So if she's able to really settle down there, build some continuity into her game, I think we'll see, particularly with her size, she's one who will come into her own, and stats certainly don't reflect. I think if you look at her stats throughout the talent league season, they don't reflect how good she's been, and she's still got another level or two to go to.
My last player, Lara Hausegger, and I just think higher ceiling is the right way to put her because I still think there's heaps of development left with her. She's got the fundamentals of her game really, really down well in terms of her agility, her ability to know where to give that next handball off or that next kick. I think it's all there. It's just execution for her now, and I think that will build over time, and she's got a lot of ceiling. And once she does build it, she's just a very smart defender who knows how to read her opponent really well. So that's about it, and that kind of wraps us up for the season. That is a full year, our first full year done. make sure to check out our recent videos on the AFLW draft. We did our power rankings and we did our fantasy team, which we did with the boys. If you want to check that out, obviously their draft is gone now. So if you want to see sort of how well we did with the players we selected, go check that out. The girls' version went out last week as well, which was really fun to do. Thank you all for all your support this year. If you've listened to us, you know, week after week, we really appreciate it. We will be back next year with bigger and better things, and 90% hope we're in a studio next year, so the production should go up. But thank you all for watching. Make sure to check out our socials for other extra content on the AFLW draft. Good luck to all the girls that are hoping to get their name read out on Monday. We wish you all the best, and we will see you next year.